Some say a national leafy green marketing agreement would protect America from dreaded microbuggies like E. coli 015787. But others say a national leafy green marketing agreement would shun America's small farms and make them appear, well, unsafe. And so today we pause to ask, would a national leafy green marketing agreement strengthen or weaken our food chain?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 653rd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there on Larnaca who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
And producer Carol Stafford on the phones. Hello, Carol.
Hello there.
Folks, bacteria like E. coli 015787 can harm people and industries alike. In people, a bacteria can cause cramps and diarrhea and can lead to severe sickness and even death. In 2006, for one example, more than 200 people were sickened by the E. coli bacteria contained in packaged spinach, and three died. In industry, the bacteria can create chaos in distribution systems, causing the loss of many millions of dollars and possibly leading to a government takeover of industry. To cope with these bad bugs, California growers, packers, and shippers got together and put forth a California leafy green marketing agreement, which listed specific safety measures that would hopefully prevent future contaminations. Now, the industry is putting forth the notion that their leafy green marketing agreement should be adopted nationwide, and those complying with its provisions would be allowed to use a government-approved safe food seal on their food. However, many from the local agriculture community say that a national leafy green marketing agreement would weaken local agriculture in that only industrial-sized producers would be able to affix the government safe food seal on their foods, and thus connote that only industrial-scale producers have safe food. So that's where we're at today, and we pause to ask, would a national leafy green marketing agreement strengthen or weaken our food chain? Here to help us find an answer, we'll start with Paul Simons. Paul is with the Western Growers Association. Paul, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hey, thank you so much, Michael. It really is a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Yeah, happy to have you aboard. We've worked with a lot of folks at Western Growers, and I think this is the first time with you, so we're glad to have you aboard. You have a great voice for radio, so we should have some fun today.
Excellent.
Western Growers Association, what is it?
Western Growers, we are an agricultural trade association. We represent about 3,000 growers, packers, and shippers.
Is that all?
Excuse me?
Is that all? Just 3,000?
Well, yes, just between California and Arizona.
Right. So it's a substantial industry we're talking about here, isn't it?
Absolutely. We represent about half the fresh fruits, vegetables, and tree nuts grown in the entire country.
Wow. So who pays your way at Western Growers Association?
Who pays?
Yeah, we always ask that question. Who pays for the efforts of Western Growers?
Well, we have member companies who, participate in the various, products and, mm-hmm. and so forth here at the association. So, we're run by our member contributions.
Good. For members?
Yes.
Good. And also with us today, we have Patty Lavera. Patty is with the Food and Water Watch organization in Washington, D.C. Patty, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Ooh, you have a great voice, too, so we have good voices on the Food Chain today. Patty, what is Food and Water Watch?
Food and Water Watch is a consumer advocacy organization, so I'm in Washington, D.C., in our office there, and we also have an office in San Francisco.
Good, so bicoastal, I guess you might call Food and mm-hmm. Water Watch. So who pays the way for Food and Water Watch?
We have about 8,500 members of Food and Water Watch, so they choose to support our work by sending in their membership donation, so that's a source of our funding, and then we also get some funding from charitable foundations.
Okay, good. And when you say Food and Water Watch, I guess you're watching Food and Water.
Yeah, we try.
Okay, and that's what we're doing today. I want to thank you both for joining us. As we speak, the USDA is holding public hearings around the United States on whether we should institute a national leafy green marketing agreement. So what on earth is a leafy green marketing agreement? I think it's something that probably only those people in the industry know about. You know, I kind of fished the term around yesterday at a function, and people went glassy-eyed on me, so I don't suspect anybody knows what it is. So let's start with Paul Simons, Western Growers Association. You folks were pretty much instrumental in establishing the Leafy Green Marketing Agreement for California. What on earth did you do?
Well, thanks, Michael. You know, beginning in 2006, Western Growers really led the way in proposing a marketing agreement for the safe handling of leafy greens here in California. Western Growers, we certainly were not out on an island in this endeavor, and, right. and we really garnered broad support from other state and national organizations, not to mention government entities and academics. I guess the short of it, Michael, is you have those who handle leafy greens came together and said, we need to do something to ensure that these products are grown according to the best science that we have at our fingertips today. And we need to put in a program that is nimble and can change as new science presents itself. And so what they did is the handlers got together and they developed metrics or standards that could be implemented on the farm. And those metrics were developed not by five or six or eight, you know, handlers or farmers in a back room. These metrics were really developed with input from FDA, from academics around the country. Mm-hmm. It was an open process so that everybody could weigh in.
Can you describe some of those metrics?
Well, it has to do with various water measurements, soil amendment measurements, and ensuring that the fields are suitable for the safest possible handling and growing, I should say, of leafy greens.
Right. Patty Lavera, no problem so far, huh?
Well, actually, there is a problem. I mean, from our perspective, you know, we're not arguing with the need to talk about, how things are grown and what the best practices are and all of that. But the experience in California and the proposal for this national version of the agreement concerns us because we're concerned it's happening in the wrong, kind of the wrong part of government. I mean, this marketing agreement isn't a government-developed mm-hmm. standard.
But with respect to with respect to the California Leafy Green Marketing Agreement and the metrics that it contained, do the folks at Food and Water Watch, and I'd like to point out that it's not just Food and Water Watch that is concerned about a national leafy green marketing agreement. There are many consumer organizations that actually wanted to be on this program, but we went with Patty. And so we're wondering, is there anything in the metrics of the California Leafy Green Marketing Agreement that you find fault with?
Michael, if I may, real quick, it should be pointed out, too, that there's also a very broad coalition
right.
that have come together to develop and ask the USDA to implement the National
That's
Marketing
right.
Agreement. It is not a Western Growers or simply a small portion of the industry. It's a very broad scope of folks that are at the table trying to see this program implemented.
Well, that's what's interesting, is that there's a very broad spectrum of interest groups on both sides of this issue. So that's why I'm trying to figure out what the conflict is here. So with respect to the California Leafy Green Marketing Agreement, do you folks in the the consumer organizations like Food and Water Watch, do you see anything wrong with that, Patty?
Yeah, and we've talked to quite a few people in California who have concerns about the experience of this California agreement. There were definitely concerns about the process, and then there have been concerns about, living with the agreement. At the hearing that was happening earlier this week, there were several people that came in and talked about that and how they chose not to sign up because of those concerns. And so the short version of the story is that people, some people feel that the emphasis in the metrics is on things that are hard to achieve on small farms, that put a lot of pressure on practices that farms that are trying to be certified organic or are doing other kind of conservation or wildlife programs or water quality programs, that it's hard to live with both of those mandates. And there's been a lot of concern about pressure on wildlife, on ripping out vegetation, things like that, because of some of the interpretation of the metrics or the metrics themselves.
Hey, Michael, if
Go
I
ahead,
could jump
Paul.
In on that, I think
Please
it's
do.
Important to realize that You know, the development of a national marketing agreement for leafy greens really includes a lot of different interests. And you know, the proposal that's on the table right now would put together a technical review board. And this technical review board would develop metrics on a national level. And you know, Western growers and the industry, we realize that you cannot have a one-size-fits-all. And you really need to have metrics that are, that'll work in various regions. But to Ms. Lavera's point, I think it's important to point out that on this technical review board, you have representation from FDA and the Environmental Protective Agency and the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service. So we really tried to answer that, some of those concerns, and ensure that on a national level, we kept you know, as many players at the table as possible.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break.
Okay.
This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We have Paul Simons with the Western Growers Association. We have Patty Lavera from Food and Water Watch. And folks, today we're talking about the possibility of a national leafy green marketing agreement. Do stay tuned. It's your food, and who's going to grow it? Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back out there. You are tuned into the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Today we're talking about the leafy green marketing agreement that is being proposed for a national rollout. A leafy green marketing agreement is essentially a marketing order. Paul Simons, Western Growers, what on earth is a marketing order?
Well, the difference between a marketing agreement and a marketing order is really kind of complex. I think it's important to note, though, that the marketing agreement, and really, you know, Michael, this is kind of the beauty of it, is that it's a voluntary program.
Right.
Nobody is making anybody participate in anything. If producers see the value in participating in the national marketing agreement, then they should volunteer and they should sign up.
And now an order, on the other hand, would be compulsory, right?
Absolutely.
And so the difference between a marketing agreement and a marketing order is one's voluntary and the other's compulsory. Patty Lavera, doesn't that sound like a reasonable thing to do?
When it comes to food safety, we're not clear that that is a reasonable way to approach it. I mean, we've talked to a lot of people about what their concerns are about. There's been a lot of, you know, polling and research on this, and people expect a basic level of food safety, and they expect some, you know, some minimum standards, and they don't expect that they have to decide between brands based on whether they know if that was done. And so putting this into a marketing venue is really troubling to groups like ours that are trying to think of how do we, you know, how do we assure consumers about some basic practices being followed.
I have a question, Michael. You know, Patty brings up a point that's been raised, and I think it's worth fleshing out a little bit. It's this idea of branding and comparing brands and so forth and so on. And you know, the California Marketing Agreement has been in place for 3 years or 2.5 years now. And I don't imagine that if you go to any grocery store today that you're going to see a big seal or anything that says this leafy green is safer than that one because it's grown under the marketing agreement. And in fact, I think that there's, you know, well, I don't think, I know, there's very clear language in the proposal that the labeling that we're talking about has to do with bills of lading. You know, one of the
What do you mean bills of lading?
Food safety, I think, are twofold. Number one, we shouldn't be pitting one, you know, commodity over another and saying this is safe or over that is safe. And secondly, it should not be.
Well, isn't that what we're doing though here?
No, not at all. I think I think this has to do with explaining and demonstrating to the buying community that those on the farm have grown these products according to the best science we have at our disposal. And everybody joining on board would be able to demonstrate that by showing to the buying community that that is indeed happening. We're not putting out labels to consumers to show, hey, buy this leafy green because it's safer than that one.
But, I mean, in a venue of marketing, when something like food safety becomes a marketing attribute, I mean, that's for distinguishing between products. And even at the hearing we were at this week, I was struck by everyone's letterhead had the California, you know, leafy green marketing agreement seal on it. I mean, companies are using it to try to distinguish themselves. And so another concept that hasn't come up here yet today is that in addition to this, the California agreement and potentially a national agreement, there are all these other private standards on food safety because food safety has been put in this arena of marketing.
Well, I think I don't think that there are all these standards because food safety has been in the arena of marketing. I think there are all these standards out there because everybody is trying to outdo one another and to market on that behalf. But if we could create one standard across the board that is defensible by the science that we know today, and then convince those buyers and demonstrate to them that, listen, what we're doing here with this national marketing agreement is defensible by science, and this is what should be the standard. We don't have any leverage in that respect today, Patty.
Let me ask you this, Paul.
And if we don't continue to head down this path, you will see more and more metrics creating even more hardship for the farmers.
Well, let me ask you this. There seems to be two approaches to agriculture. One is an industrial kind of scale agriculture, and the other is kind of a local agriculture where, you know, and the two don't seem to be heading down the same path. Let me give you an example. Here in the Salinas Valley, where the nation's salad bowl, you have some very large enterprises, and what they seem to be doing is following this California leafy green marketing agreement, and they're going around their fields and getting rid of all natural habitat so that there will be no wildlife anywhere close to the growing fields. The local people, on the other hand, seem to be running around planting riparian corridors and hedgerows to encourage beneficial insects and whatnot. So you see there's two entirely different directions here. So can you have one set of metrics that fits all?
You know, I think we can, and I think that the national agreement allows for that because there are places on for people to participate in the process. You know, I was really struck at the hearings this week by how many people who were just flatly opposed to the national agreement just to be opposed, and really we're not offering any ideas or thoughts or language to help perfect the process when really and truly that's what we're trying to do right now. Well, you know, there are seats available on the technical review board, on the administrative mm-hmm. board, on the marketing board of the proposed agreement for everybody to have a seat at the table. And unless these people have a seat at the table and help develop metrics that are suitable for all parties, you know, yes, there may be things that come down that some are not happy with.
Well,
so
let me ask.
Casting stones, people should be involved in helping to perfect the process.
Okay, let me ask Patty the same question. Can we develop one set of metrics for all?
I mean, that is the biggest concern I think that came out at this week's hearing and in a lot of the groups that are worried about this proposal is, does any process that's run in this track of a marketing agreement make sure that all those parties are at the table? And so there was a lot of discussion at the hearing this week about, you know, this technical review board and that administrative committee and all the different pieces of the structure. And we were all just hypothesizing because this thing hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of concern and a lot of fear that the structure that's been proposed and that the idea of a marketing agreement doesn't get everybody to the table. I mean, for example, we don't see a role for consumers and we don't see the same kind of process we would have and the same kind of reviews for things like environmental impact and small business impact and all of those things that you would see in a different process of the government, like a regulatory process.
Well, you know, we have a California leafy green marketing agreement. Has it worked to keep harmful bacteria out of the food chain? Has it worked?
I think it depends who you ask. There's been a couple of product recalls since the marketing agreement. It's hard to know, you know, before or after because there's so much more attention being paid to food safety right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of one of those things. It's hard to know what would have happened without it. you know, we're still in a position we think where there's plenty to be done on food safety. There's a lot of attention being paid to this in Congress right now. The FDA itself is looking at guidance on leafy greens. And so this concept that we're just here throwing stones at a proposal, I think, is a little misleading, because all of the groups that are talking about this are also working at the FDA, at Congress, all over the government on this topic of food safety. We just don't think that this proposal is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, the preferred idea by many who are in opposition is to go the FDA route. And if you really look at the process for FDA to put rules into place, and you look at the process that has unfolded with the development and the proposal of the National Leafy Greens Marketing Agreement, I think that anyone can objectively see that this process for the National Leafy Greens Marketing Agreement has been far more open and far more transparent than anything that you would see at FDA. And I think you just go to, what's taken place over the last year and a half. You had comments for rulemaking. You've had encouragement from all corners of the country for people to participate in the drafting of this proposal. You've had open hearings that are ongoing, which we saw started this week in Monterey. We'll have additional comment period after the proposal is, if it is then, followed up with on USDA. We had a webinar where we had 235 people participate nationwide and ask questions, and then the proponent group applied some of those answers and questions into the draft of the marketing agreement. I mean, you just don't get that in other areas of government. So this idea that, you know, there isn't an open and transparent process, I think is quite laughable.
Okay, folks, this is The Food Chain. We're having a discussion today about the leafy green marketing agreement that is proposed for the United States of America. Should we institute a set of protocols, a one-size-fits-all set of protocols that would encompass all agriculture in the United States, thus giving those who participate a right to affix a government-sponsored good food label on their food? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080, right back. Well, some say a national leafy green marketing agreement would protect America from dreaded micro-buggies like the E. coli 015787. Others, on the other hand, say, well, wait a minute. The national leafy green marketing agreement would kind of shun America's small farms and make them appear, well, unsafe. So today we pause to ask, would a national leafy green marketing agreement strengthen or weaken our food chain? And we have with us today Paul Simons with the Western Growers Association, an association that represents almost half of America's fresh fruits and vegetables, those grown here in California and Arizona. Also Patty Lavera, who is with Food and Water Watch, and their job is to watch over our food and our water to make certain that everything is going as it should. And also with us today, we're going to go to the phones and look for answers to our questions. We're going to start with Chili Bob, who is a grower himself. And our phone numbers today are 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Chili Bob, welcome to The Food Chain.
Well, hello, Michael. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us today.
No problem. So you want to comment or you
want
to...
I want your comment here. You're a professional grower. This seems to make some sense, does it not?
Yeah, it certainly does, Michael. And I think the thing we all have to remember is, I've stated it before, and I'll state it again. I think I wasn't too excited about this thing when it came along here, you know, a couple of years ago. I thought there was a lot of miscues and problems that it was going to create. But then I started looking at the difference between the metrics as they were developed, you know, as science based as possible, and some of the people like to call them super metrics. I don't like to use that term, but it's added buyer requirements.
Wait! Super metrics?
Well, okay, there's a term, like I said, I don't like to use it, but, you know, because it's a misunderstood term, but I think what most of the industry understands is that super metrics is basically, you've got the LGMA metrics, then you have some of the buyer requirements are above and beyond,
uh-huh.
And they're not all the same, but every buyer is a little bit different.
Oh, okay, so you have the metrics established by the California Leafy Green Marketing Agreement,
correct.
And then you have the requests made by those who buy your
some
produce.
Different large buyers, correct.
Uh-huh.
And those are very ominous. Those are the ones that are tough to adhere to. And those are the ones that are created a lot of the problems with the
Are those the ones that are getting rid of the animals and riparian corridors and the hedgerows?
Yeah, they're pretty much saying that you need to, in order to grow for us, any crop for us, you're going to have to make sure that none of these animals are even in the vicinity. So whereas in the leafy greens metrics, you can mitigate the certain different ways. I mean, mm-hmm. you flag off areas, you buffer areas where you have intrusion and stuff like that. But the question was asked. You asked the question yourself, Mike. Has it affected anything? Has it been effective? And I think definitely it has. The California agreement has really brought a lot of knowledge and awareness to growers, all the farmers, their employees, especially the employees, over the last couple of years, and people are more aware of what to do to protect the food chain. Now, you have to understand there's no such thing as zero tolerance. And a lot of these buyers are demanding zero tolerance, and it's impossible to achieve.
And zero tolerance would mean no microbuggies.
Right, yeah. I mean, part of the thing that is working is the recall program.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of recalls going on right now, but fortunately, there's only a couple of people have been sticking from it products that are on a recall list right now. But if you look at the overall thing, we're finding, the people are recalling products before they're even being realized, and they're being extra safe and holding products until they can find out if it was a false positive. The test was a false positive, presumptive, if it really is true.
So essentially, what the California Leafy Green Marketing Agreement did was force an incredible awareness upon everybody.
Definitely.
If you want to play in this business, if you want to participate in this business, you have to be totally aware and totally cognizant of what's going on.
Michael, we have a huge responsibility, and that responsibility is involved trying to supply as safe a food supply to the American public and the world as possible. And if we just turn our heads and say, I think I'm doing the right thing, but you don't know if it's the right thing or not, I don't think you're doing your job. And that's where people like Mr. Marmer come in and tell you you're not doing the right thing.
Okay, so let me ask you this, though. Chili Bob, you're an industrial-scaled grower. Can these metrics be enforced upon, local agriculture, people who are growing for local communities, the small people, the people who are trying to grow organically, the people who are trying to encourage beneficial insects, and so on? Or
Well, Michael, to answer your question, Paul even mentioned it's a voluntary program, and if you notice, mostly the larger buyers, your chain stores, people who are supplying a lot of people with buyers who are supplying a lot of people with food products, those are the ones with a major liability. Those are the ones that want to be the most careful. Now, I'm not saying that the farmers markets aren't careful, but the people who are participating in that, they're not required to. I mean, unless a farmers market comes out and says, look, we want you to adhere to these metrics, otherwise you can't supply us, which I don't know that would ever happen. And if you look at the emphasis on buying local, buying farmers markets type produce, a lot of people are doing that. This won't even be part of it. So, you look at it that way, no, it's not going to affect them. But if a small farmer wants to supply product to a large buyer, well, then they're probably going to have to adhere to those metrics.
Patty, does that make sense?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts about that. And that came up a lot at the hearing we just had this week in California. There are concerns that this becomes a barrier to somebody that's doing those local markets
mm-hmm.
ever getting beyond that. It's that we end up with an even more polarized system where we have very, very large operations, very large chains, and then direct, and no way to ever, to ever have something in the middle. And so there's a lot of concern about that if you kind of,
Interesting. So what you're saying is
that... entry that hard with something like this.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that if you start small and work at serving a local market, that's where you're going to stay, because you'll never be able to get past the metrics that it takes to become a supplier to, like, Walmart or something.
That's one concern. And then there are also folks there that... testifying this week who deal a lot with organic product distribution and really try to help, get some smaller producers into the retail chain. And they were there expressing concerns about this. And so I think it's not as cut and dry as, well, it's voluntary and, just don't worry about it. And then I just have to go back to this this process thing really quickly that we were talking about mm-hmm. before the break. You know, this national proposal for a national version of this agreement does have some steps for the public to comment, but they're very late in the process, and they're commenting on a very specific thing, not about should we do it this way. And, you know, having a public hearing that has a judge where you get sworn in and get cross-examined during the business day in a couple spots in the country is not exactly involving consumers and involving the public. So, you know, there's a lot we can argue about with this thing, but saying that it's so open and it's so accessible to everybody, I don't think is a fair characterization.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask each and every one of you, is this new national leafy green marketing agreement an attempt to make a new organic in the marketplace, a new label, a new position? What do you think out there? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're talking about the National Leafy Green Marketing Agreement. We have Paul Simons with us, who is with Western Growers Association. Also, Patty Lavera, Food and Water Watch. And by golly, Chili Bob is with us from he's a California grower. And you, right back. Please do stay tuned. Well, what would it take to make you feel safe about your food? Would it be a government seal that says safe food here? Would that make you feel safe? What about organic? Is that not a way of saying safe food as well? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-4790, 479-1080. We have Paul Simons, Western Growers Association, Patty Lavera, Food and Water Watch, and by golly, we have Chili Bob, who is a commercial grower in California. Quick question. Is this a way of is this this new seal, this new government's food safety seal, will it be a way of competing with the organic label, Paul Simons?
Oh, I don't think so. I wanted to go back to something a little bit earlier. You know, this idea that I would like to point out that there are many organic growers in the agreement right now. In fact, 20% of the California agreement, 20% of the California
leafy green
board, 20% of those members are organic growers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important to point out. And, you know, you hit on something earlier that I want to make clear for your audience, and there are no requirements to create barren, sterile lands. You know, in fact, our members, they value the environment. The best stewards of the land are farmers, and that's why we have multi-generation farms. So, you know, those are a couple points I wanted
to bring up. Okay, it seems to be the super metrics that Chili Bob was talking about that are causing some.
Those were brought up quite a bit this last week during the hearings, and I think that it would be who of those who are in opposition to the National Leafy Green Marketing Agreement to focus all of their efforts on, you know, curtailing some of those super metrics that they would really like to create a better environment for our farmers. I mean, at the end of the day, we're trying to base the national agreement on the best science we have at our fingertips, involving as many different interested stakeholders as possible to the table. If folks would like to, really combat some of those onerous metrics and standards, those in opposition should focus their attention on some of those buying metrics.
Right. Amen. It's hard to do that too when you're a consumer, right, Patty Lavera?
Well, we've actually asked some of the companies what their metrics are, and they won't tell us. And we don't like the super metrics either. That's the one thing I think we have in common on this phone call. We think that, it's a confusing, fragmented way to go at dealing with this issue. And so, but for us, that's a piece of that's a piece of the puzzle as we talk about, do we need a national agreement? Because it doesn't have the power to stop these super metrics. So are we just adding something else? Are we adding another layer? And the big picture is the FDA has said they're going to do something on leafy greens. We have food safety legislation in the Congress. We have these super metrics that, in California haven't stopped yet either, even with a California agreement. What does a national leafy green marketing agreement do in the context of all that other stuff? Is it going to, just make another layer? And is it another claim in the marketplace that's already incredibly crowded?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Is this a counterclaim of some kind to organic? I mean, does it establish another? So when consumers go into the supermarket, they see one that says organic and one that says leafy green safe or something.
Michael, that's not the intent at all. I think we need to flesh out this FDA idea. You know, the idea that we would have first off, that you're right. That there is pending legislation that's been passed out of the House and pending in the Senate regarding food safety.
Right.
There's
food safety
language in that bill for FDA to recognize programs such as the marketing agreement. So instead of standing in opposition, those who are in opposed should be part of the process to perfect the program so that the very best program can be observed and recognized by FDA. FDA has also put out a handful of guidance documents through the years. In fact, they recently published a guidance document the last month. You know, every one of those guidance documents were developed with industry at the table playing a key role in developing, those guidance areas.
Patty was there too,
right?
I'd
like to point out, I don't know that anyone, if you really think about it, thinks that legislation is the panacea as it relates to food safety. Legislation, as we all know, is so cumbersome and not nimble and not changeable. I mean, for goodness sake, if new science presents itself and we need to, change a standard that we have on the field, we need to go in and amend the legislation? That doesn't sound reasonable. You know, I think this marketing agreement makes a lot of sense, and an objective eye would show you as such.
Let me ask Patty, does that make sense to you, or did legislation frighten you the way it does industry?
Not good legislation, and so that's the process that we're in, is trying to make the food safety legislation be the best that it can be. And, legislation is not going to spell out the metrics. The metrics, then they probably won't be called metrics in that arena. The regulations would be done by an agency, and so the key is that the agencies are talking to each other, that USDA that knows organic and that knows, some farm issues is talking to FDA, and that they're following good steps, that they're considering the environment, they're considering the impact on small scale. And so that's the job we all have now, is to make legislation give the FDA good instructions about how to do this.
Hey, Mom, something that's real interesting right now, and that is the idea that FDA needs to be talking to USDA because USDA knows what's going on the farm. And then on the other side is talking about adding additional layers. It sounds to me, by adding FDA, you're adding an additional layer that really isn't necessary.
We're going to have to take a quick break, but we will be right back. This is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. When we get back, we're going to ask the big question, which is, will a national leafy greens marketing agreement strengthen or weaken our food chain? Right back. Well, I'm no genius, but what I see happening in the world is agriculture, like all industry, seems to be heading in two directions. It's either getting very, very big or very, very small. The vast middle, that where we used to live, seems to be disappearing. So what worries me is the safety and the strength of our food chain. Will we have enough to feed us? Will industrial agriculture be in a position to provide for us all? And will local agriculture be in a position to supplement that with truly local fresh foods? And I worry that something will come in between them to change that dynamic, and that's why I picked up this subject today. Will a national leafy green marketing agreement strengthen or weaken our food chain? Will it help industrial agriculture survive and prosper in tough times? And will it somehow help local agriculture survive as well? So that's my question today. Chili Bob, what do you think?
Oh, I think it's definitely going to help, Michael. I can't see it doing anything otherwise. And like I said, it, if nothing else, it raises the awareness level of everybody out there that's producing,
And that is certainly good, right?
It opened everybody's eyes when we got involved in the LGMA metrics. We saw all the potential problems out there, but the potentials for cross-contamination that we didn't think was ever an issue before. And it's getting us all to understand more and more science. I mean, we're looking, half of us are spending most of our time on the internet trying to find out, things about how can we prevent these things, and are there problems that are out there that really are not problems.
So, well, let me ask you, Chili Bob, will it harm local agriculture, a national leafy green agreement like this?
Well, you say local, it's national, but I mean, it's no.
But local agriculture, people.
It depends, again, Michael, on what could those people want to supply to. If they want to supply the large grocery chains or anywhere in the retail market, just understand there's only like five major buyers in the country anymore, and that's just about it.
Which is where the supermetrics come in, right?
Exactly right. So I don't really blame these people for what they've done, because they've got to protect themselves.
Right.
I mean, it's, And so they're doing what they feel is necessary. But in the meantime, more and more science is being developed. We got research. I'm working with research people all the time myself I allow them access to.
You thought you were a farmer, but you're really a scientist now, right?
Well, I'm finding, I'm learning more and more about it. But the more I do learn, the more I understand that this food safety program is a good thing to have.
Okay, good. Thank you. Patty, what do you think? Will this National Leafy Green Marketing Agreement strengthen or weaken our food chain?
I think it confuses the food chain, and we're afraid that we miss the opportunity to strengthen it. I mean, the bottom line is all of the stuff, you know, education and training and more awareness is fantastic, but having an industry set its own rules, and this proposal is all full of boards and committees where maybe there's a seat for the FDA, maybe there's a seat for an environmentalist, but this is a process to have growers and shippers write their own standards and then get a government seal, and that's not the way we think it should work.
Okay, well, Paul Simons, Western Growers, is it going to strengthen or weaken our national food chain?
Well, I think without question it will strengthen it. At the end of the day, when growers are involved wholly in the developing of a system that works, you know, they have ownership and awareness. With FDA, USDA, and EPA and others, you know, at their side, you know, they'll be confident that they meet public and health environmental goals. You know, I think what we saw in California, I know this discussion is on the national agreement, but what we saw in California since the inception of the Leafy Green Marketing Agreement is that, you know, farms have doubled the number of staff people dedicated to food safety activities. And when it comes to their total investment in food safety programs, the average LGMA member has tripled what they used to spend in food safety. That's good for the consumers. And on that note, you know, a year after the marketing agreement went into place, the marketing agreement, not in preparation for any national hearings, not to make its case in the media, but to really kind of strengthen the program, went out and surveyed, you know, the nation and tried to figure out what consumers thought about this program. And what they found overwhelmingly is that an impressive 89% of consumers had a favorable opinion when they were told about the food safety programs.
Well, everybody wants safe food,
absolutely.
And I guess that's why it's so nice,
you know,
to know that everybody's working on it.
Strengthen our food system is clear. The idea that the public, when they understand what's going on in here in California, they would certainly embrace that. And
with that, we got to check out. We're out of time. Patty Lavera, Food and Water Watch, thank you. Paul Simons, Western Growers, thank you. And Chili Bob, a farmer, thank you all for joining us today. This has been The Food Chain. Stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on The Food Chain. And remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.